are going to see the love of God to the believer. As we are going to go through 1 John, we are going through 1 John scripture by scripture. And so we are going to continue from chapter 3 today. Chapter 3, starting from verse 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. It's amazing. The word starts with behold. When you see the word behold, that means something important. That means we need to stop there. Amen. That means you need to see, what is it? That means there's an urgency there. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love? It's something that our mind is not going to comprehend. It's something that amazes us. It's something that goes beyond our knowledge, beyond our thinking, beyond our imagination. So John starts here, behold. I mean, stop. What is it? It shows the excitement that the calling that God has for the believer. So here we see that John is raptured in admiration, raptured in amazement. And this is, if you see this, this goes along with the previous verses, really, because this is a letter that is being written to the church. If you get a letter, your letter that you received from a friend before, at the beginning, they didn't have verses here, no scripture, you know, 1, 2, 3, it's a letter. So the letter flows along with you. So here, if you see that, the beginning, the previous verses before that, why, what kind of manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, because we have been born from above. This is a mystery of being born again. And the mystery that not only being born again, the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us, that Jesus' righteousness, His holiness that has been credited to an unworthy sinner, that is His love. And if you turn with me to Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Wow. You know, it's so easy to forget who we were before. And here is a remembrance for us to remember who we were before, how unworthy creatures we were. We were enemies of God. We were lost creatures. We were guilty sinners. We were rebellious. When we say rebellious, that means we have broken the commandments of God. And we were enemies of God. And we were criminals. Criminals, they have broken the law of God. And, you know, we were perishing. God, you know, if God left us alone, we would have perished. But we were ourselves left alone, helpless. We were lawbreakers. But you know, we were once dead. Now we became alive. Just like the prodigal son. We were all prodigals, right? When Adam sinned, we sinned in Adam, in the same way. So we were all like prodigal sons. We were all prodigal. We were, I mean, why did the prodigal son go to a far country? Why didn't he go to a close by country? Of course, when he sinned, nobody will notice him. Nobody will know who he is. So in the same way, we were just like the prodigals, and we have wasted our time, wasted everything, and we have sinned against heaven, and sinned against God, and sinned against our neighbors, sinned against everybody. And one day when God awoke us, we realized what we had done. And here, when we realized that, we went to the Father, you know, and this, our Father, He's the one who called us. He's the one who gave His Son. And He's the one who bestowed that love to us. He's the one who reconciles us. And here the book of Romans say, while we were yet sinners, it was Christ who died. The ministry of Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. We were enemies with God. Okay, two people are enemies. Jesus comes in between as a mediator and He reconciles. And there is peace there. That's why Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of that reconciliation. You know, it's like a story. A judge who have pardoned a criminal. This criminal was doomed to death because of breaking the law, because he's a criminal. But this judge pardons the criminal, and he takes this criminal to his own mansion, and he adopts this criminal and giving him royal dignity. Oh, what manner of love is this? And that's exactly what the Lord did. What manner of love is this? Not only that, we are called what? The sons of God. Wow, isn't that amazing? John chapter 1 verse 12 says, the Gospel of John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. We are called the sons of God. We were the children of wrath, the children of the world. But when God opened our eyes to the Gospel, it awakened our souls, awakened our minds. And when we truly repented of our sins, we surrendered our life to Him. We trusted in all the works of Christ, nothing in our works. Then we were transferred, you know, we were transferred from wrath to a blessing. We became sons of God. The word sons of God, what a rank is that? It's a high calling. What dignity is that? We are called sons of God. Just imagine, from a criminal to a son of God. Wow. It's the highest position that can be given to man. It is higher than the position of President Bush, who is the President of the United States. It's not a common honor. It's a heavenly honor. It's a high honor from heaven. And we are called the sons of God. Now, we did not earn to become a sons of God. We did not earn by knowledge or going to school or our own works or merits or absolutely nothing. It was God who saved man on account of His own merit. Now, where would be the drunkards be if only righteous people can go to heaven? Where would be the drunkards be if we can earn our way to heaven? Where would be the drug addicts be? Where would be the thieves be? Where would be the murderers be? Where would be the idolaters be? It's only purely by His grace alone that we are saved. Now, we are the sons of God. Because, why we are the sons of God? Because we are born of Him. We had a divine birth. So if we had a divine birth, then we become the children of God. We are born of the Spirit. So if we are born of the Spirit, then the Spirit will lead us. Amen. Right? If we are born of the Spirit will lead us. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You see? So we are called the sons of God because we had a divine birth from above, and we are born from above, born from heaven, and we are born of the Spirit, and now we are led by the Spirit, and that's why we are the sons of God. So we are sinful creatures, you know, I mean sinful, we were sinful creatures, we love to boast about our rich families, all the time we wanted to say, hey, look at my dad, you know, he is a president of this large company. You know, just like the worldly people, they like to boast about who they are, from where they come from, their genealogy. But you know what? Our Father is God. Let me tell you a story. There was this little girl, and on this day at school, it was called Daddy's Day, where every child is going to bring their dad to school, to her class, and introduce their dad to the classmates. Today was Daddy's Day at school, but she couldn't wait to go. But you know what? She did not have a dad. But her mom tried to tell her that she should probably stay at home. Why, the kids might not understand, mom said, if she went to school alone. But she was not afraid. She knew just what to say, what to tell her classmates on this Daddy's Day. But still her mother worried for her to face this day alone. And that was why once again she tried to keep her daughter at home. But the little girl, she went to school, eager to tell them all about a dad that she has never seen. Then in school, one by one, the teacher called a student from the class to introduce their daddy. As seconds slowly passed, at last the teacher called her name. Every child turned to stare. Each one of them was searching for a man who wasn't there. Some said, "Where's her dad?" She heard a boy call out and saying, "Where's her dad? She probably doesn't have one." And they were kind of like mockingly making these remarks. And from somewhere near the back, she heard a daddy say, one of the classmates' daddy say, "Looks like another deadbeat dad, too busy to waste his day, he cannot come." The words did not offend her. As she smiled at her friends and looked back at her teacher who told her to begin. And with hands behind her back, slowly she began to speak, and out from the mouth of a child came words incredibly unique. "My daddy could not be here because he lives so far away. And though you cannot meet him, I wanted you to know all about my daddy and how much he loves me so. Cause my daddy is always with me. Even though we are apart, I know because he told me he'll forever be here in my heart." And there she went to tell about the dad, the real dad who is in heaven. And from somewhere in the crowds of dads, her mother stood in tears, proudly watching her daughter, who was wiser than beyond her years. And when she dropped her hand back down, staring straight into the crowd, she finished with a voice so soft, but his message clear and loud. "I love my daddy very much. He is my shining star. And if we could And if he could, he'd be here, but heaven's just too far. But sometimes when I close my eyes, it's like he never went away. And then she closed her eyes and saw him there that day. And to her mother's amazement, she witnessed with surprise a room full of daddies and children, all starting to close their eyes. And a child was blessed, if only a moment, by the love of her shining bright star, and given the gift of believing that heaven is never too far. The little girl who went with much boldness, she didn't have a dad, but her dad was God. We haven't seen God. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And here we see that as sinful creatures, we don't deserve anything, but it's God is the one who bestowed that love. Now, we saw that we were led by the Spirit of God. If we are led by the Spirit of God, we are children of God, then we are ruled by His Word. His Spirit will just not lead you in without blindness, without His Word, because His Word is God-breathed Word. So we are ruled by the Word of God. We put the Word of God first, because the Word is a light and a lamp to our feet, and in it is anointed by the Spirit. So the true Christian cannot say, I hope I'm a Christian. You cannot say that. You definitely know that you're a Christian. You cannot say, I wish I was a Christian. I hope I'm a Christian. I'm not sure whether I'm a Christian or not. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't have to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So you don't have to be fearful. You're not sure. You have peace, what God has done. You're reconciled by the mediator who came to the Father, and by calling Abba, Father, you can call to Him. Then verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, what? That we are children of God. Amen. That's what the Word says. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified. So, we sinful creatures, how we can call Abba, Father, Daddy. And here, it's amazing. We can call Him by Abba, Father, Daddy. What a great encouragement to the Christian. We are heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. Isn't this truly amazing? Wow. What kind of matter is this? It's love that has been bestowed to us. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, call the sons of God. Matthew 5, 9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I was thinking about these peacemakers. A lot of people think if you go and make peace with a neighbor or whatever, they are having a fight, or people, there's so much problem in the Middle East, so we send people to make peace, they are the sons of God. No, that's not what he's talking here. Blessed are the peacemakers, they are the sons of God. Hey, that is when you go out witnessing. You go and witness and tell the people that the wrath of God is going to come. You are an enemy of God. You need to make peace with God. The only way the peace of God can come is through the mediator, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who brought peace to two different hostile parties together. They were enemy with each other. And the mediator was Jesus. This is the ministry of reconciliation. And here we are called to be peacemakers, that we go and tell people that they are enemies of God. The wrath of God is going to come. So, we can introduce them to the gospel. Now suddenly they are, you know, once they realize, repent, and then come to know God. Now God, who was an enemy, now they can call by Abba, Father. Amen. And we are just an instrument there. But if you are not a true Christian, then you are not a child of God. Just because you have a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Charles Spurgeon said, there's dust enough on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your fingers. That's a pretty heavy statement. There's enough dust on your Bibles to write damnation with your own fingers. There are people who have Bibles, but they never open and read. They never study the Bible. They think this Bible, having a Bible, will take them to heaven. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. So many people go to church, but the rest of the 6 days, they live like the devil. Saying a prayer doesn't make you a Christian. You know, people, just because you pray, a lot of people pray when they're in problem. That's all. But the rest of the time, they have no devotion to God. There's no communication to God. But if you have trusted in Christ for salvation, not on your merits, not having pleasures of sin, not continuing in sin, of course we do sin, we are not perfect, we have an advocate who comes in our defense. If we do sin, we confess our sin. But if you are having that pleasure of sin, continuing daily, love to sin, then you need to be born again. And a true Christian, he will be changing daily to the image of God. God's wrath is going to come upon the children of disobedience. The sons of God, they are going to be blessed. But the children of disobedience, God's wrath is going to come upon it. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving up thanks. For this you know, for no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So you get the sons of God. On the other hand, you see the sons of disobedience. Either you're a Christian or not. That's it. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of Satan. That's it. Then, in 1 John, let's continue. So we are called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. We are the children of God, and the world does not know us. The world does not know that we Christians have such high, honorable name. The world does not know that we have a high rank, a dignity. The world does not know. So the world treats us with contempt. The world will dishonor us. For the world, we are fools. We are cursed. We are persecuted. We are slandered. For the world, we are the scum of the earth because we don't conform to their ways. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10 said, for we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, being blessed, being persecuted. We endure, being defamed, being entreated. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring occurring of all things until now. Because for the world, we are foolish. But for Christ, we are the sons of God. The world doesn't know Him. But there are some hidden Christians, you know, Christians who are kind of hidden, and they don't go through persecution because they don't get involved in the ministry at all. They don't witness, so how do you go through persecution? The world doesn't even know that they are Christians because they conform to the world. And the world will not persecute them, of course not. The world will not despise them. You know, they will honor you for who you are. Oh, Christian, okay, you don't talk Christianity, it's okay. And you will be honorable in their sight because your light does not shine in darkness. So, in reality, the world does not know who you are really. Because you don't even shine yourself as a Christian. You are kind of a hidden Christian. There are no hidden Christians. Either you're a Christian or not. Either you're a true Christian. The true Christians will be persecuted. The true Christians will go through sufferings for Christ's name. In reality, the world does not know who we are as they do not know the true majestic God. If they knew God, they would never have persecuted our Lord Jesus Christ or crucified Him. The world does not even believe that God made us. They believe in evolution and all kinds of stuff. So the world does not know God. Why? Because they are not born of God. That's the bottom line. They are born of the flesh. Jesus was called the Son of God. The world, they are the children of the devil. Only the sons of God who are born of the Spirit will know God. Right? Because we have the nature of Christ. God has clothed us in His righteousness. You know, when Jesus appeared after the resurrection, He appeared only to about 500 believers. But to the world that did not know Christ, they knew only a dead Christ. But only to the believers, He was a risen Christ, not a dead Christ. Then there are some religious people, you know. They put a cross and everything on their thing. But cross resembles, you know what? The persecution, the suffering of Christ. For the religious people who say that they know God, in reality, they don't know God. Because they deny the word of God. They deny the commandments of God. If you go to Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 9, 6 to 9, Mark chapter 7. So this is the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus was so religious outwardly, He answered to them, Mark 7, 6, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. All too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." Wow. Jesus said in John chapter 17:25, "O righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee, and these known thou hast sent me." John 17:25. "O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I know you, and these that you have given me." Amen. Then if you go back to 1 John, as we continue. Therefore, the world does I'll tell you, we are called the sons of God here, but still we are on this earth. And we are like prisoners to this flesh. We love to get out, but we can't. The only exit to heaven is what? The grave, right? Until then, we are kind of prisoners. We cannot do anything. A lot of times, you know, we want to serve more God. But we get tired. You know, we get hungry. We got to go to sleep. So we are kind of prisoners to this flesh. We cannot do anything. But our affections are not on this earth. Our affections are in heaven. When we are crucified to this world, we are alive in this world, but we are dead to the passions of this world. Our true life is in another world. And that's where Christ is. That is in heaven. But you know what? Oh, our life is hidden in Christ. We don't see Him, but it is hidden in Christ. Yet now I, but Christ lives in me. But right now we don't see Him, but yet it is hidden in Christ. But when Christ comes in His glory, then we shall appear with Him glory too. Then we are removed from this prison of the flesh. We are going to be with Him, and we are going to see Him as He is. If you turn me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Amen. And we shall be like Him. When we say we shall be like Him, it doesn't mean that we are going to be equal with Him.
Right.
Absolutely not. Because still He is the head, we are the body. He is the Lord still. And we are His children, but we shall be having like His glorious body. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Apostle Paul said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." You know, I was thinking about this. You know, our greatest desire should be, the Christian's greatest desire should be what? To see God. I want to see Him. I want to see Christ. And that was the desire of Moses. If you remember, Moses said, "God, I want to see you." Amen. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. And Moses said, Please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. Verse 20, God said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." Then verse 21, and the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then you will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." I was thinking about this. The only way that Moses saw was only the back of God, that also he has to be on the rock. Who is the rock? Christ is the rock. Only way we can see God is through Christ. Nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And here, even if you turn with me to Exodus 24:29, what happened to Moses when he saw just a glimpse, the back of God, 34:29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. He was so radiant. I tell you, what about us when we see God, when we are taken out of this prison from the flesh? Moses just saw a glimpse of God's back. When we see Christ, who he is, in the fullness of his glory, we are going to have a glorious body. So radiant. I'll tell you, many of us are doing exercises, taking all kinds of vitamins so that we can live on this world. But one day, we are going to perish. You know, the worms are going to eat this flesh. We got to understand that. The worms are going to eat this flesh. All what you have done, the worms are going to eat. But I'll tell you, the true Christian, a person who has a passion for God, you want to say, I want to see God. But the Christian who says he's a Christian but living in sin, he will not say, I want to see God. He wants to say, oh, if the Lord is coming, he will run away from God. Just like Adam. When Adam sinned, when Adam heard the footsteps of God, what did he do? Did he run to God? No. He fled from God because of sin. So if you're living in sin, you will flee from God. You don't want to say, I want to see God. But to the true Christian, the image of God that was broken now renewed in us daily, right? We are being stripped off by the corruption of the flesh. Now we are being renewed daily to the image of Christ. And one day we shall be able to behold His glory. Of course, we shall be able to behold His glory. We do not have no power in the world to become so radiant and to become like that. Absolutely no. You know, our desire is not to live in a comfortable home with luxury, because one day we are going to sit down in glory with Him on a throne of glory, and a crown of righteousness will be put on us. It's not because of righteousness, it's because of Christ. Behold, what manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? Christ went to prepare a mansion for us, not looking for glory on earth, but we are looking for glory in heaven that God has prepared for us. We will have an unspeakable glorious body, because it says that we shall see Him as just the way as He is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 12 says, Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. How dimly we see Christ now. How distantly we see Him now. But that day, we are going to see Him face to face. The head that was crowned with thorns, when He comes, it will be crowned in glory. Christ, who went through pain at the cross, lot of pain at the cross, He will come not as a painful Savior, but as a conqueror, as a king, as a judge. Now I was thinking about even today's quotation here by Jonathan Edwards, whom having not seen yet, whom having not yet seen ye love. The world was ready to wonder what strange principle it was that influenced them to expose themselves to so great sufferings, to forsake the things that were seen and renounce all that was dear and pleasant, which was the object of sense. They seemed the men of the world above them as though they were beside themselves, and to act as they hated themselves. There was nothing in their will that could induce them to suffer and support them under and carry them through such trials. But although there was nothing that was seen, nothing that the world saw, or that the Christians themselves ever saw with their bodily eyes that thus influenced and supported them, yet they had a supernatural principle of love to something unseen. They loved Jesus Christ, for they saw Him spiritually, whom the world saw not, and whom they themselves had never seen with bodily eyes. See? You know, like Moses, remember, he chose to suffer with the children of Israel in the wilderness rather than to live in a mansion, because he saw the future, the glory of God, the fullness of the glory of God. He was ready for that. And so many Christians who suffered, you know, they never saw Christ in a physical way, but they saw Christ spiritually through the Word of God. Then First John, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 18, we have been going a lot on Romans 8 today. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly wait for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, the bigger, that means we have been called the sons of God. It's a high rank. It's a high calling. The bigger you have your status or your position is, the greater the position is, the greater the responsibility is going to be. And everyone that have this hope purify himself as he is pure, because our only hope is Christ alone. This purifies us. As it is founded, this truth is founded on the blood of Christ alone, on his atonement, on his sacrifice and his righteousness. And this is our eternal hope that we have in Christ. His exceeding love for his children. What manner of love is this? This is unspeakable glory. God's goodness has been manifested to us. And we are obligated for all what he has done. Because if we truly love him, we will love him back. Everything what he has done, we will love him back. It was truly because of his mercy alone. Now, in the same way that we are called as Christians to deny the world and carry the cross, we are called as Christians to suffer for him. That's what we saw in Romans 8:18. That Apostle Paul, if you're a true Christian, you will suffer for Christ. You will serve him, and you will be a bond servant to him. And it's not because you got to do, it's not because I had to do this. You will do that is out of your, because of the grace God has given you. You will do this with willingness, with joy. You will do this. Even if you are beaten and persecuted, we will give all the glory to God. Remember Paul and Silas, they were beaten and they were put in the prison, right? They were singing psalms and hymns, and they were singing to God. Why? Because all what he has done, we cannot even compare what he has done for us. So if you're a true Christian, you will serve him. And, you know, if you turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verse 34, called the people to himself, Mark 8:34, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after him, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? The question is, where is our love to God? Where is your love to God today? Behold, what manner of love is this? And where is your love to God? Imagine Apostle Paul, who was a criminal, who was hunting down Christians to kill them, when God brought him from darkness to the light. I'll tell you, he went through hunger, he was beaten, and he didn't complain, he didn't murmur like the children of Israel, you know. He went through heavy duty trials, but he was content. Why? This life is just a drop in the bucket. And here we are today, and tomorrow we are gone. And we are called pilgrims. We are not going to focus on this earth. And as Christians, we need to remember this, because it's so easy for our flesh to take control over the spirit. Even though we are led by the Spirit of God, and we know that we are children of God, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we are the children of God, but still, when it comes to reality, when we go out of this place, we come to some real stuff in life, and easy to forget God. And that's where we need to remember, we need to be. It's easy when we don't have food to eat, we can grumble, you know, and we can question God when we are in trials and tribulations. That's where your faith comes, and that's where our true love comes in, whether we truly love Him or not. At that time, when everything goes out okay, we can say we love Him. But when you are really going through pain and suffering and difficulties, do you still love Him? Do you? Or do you want to pick out a quarrel with somebody? Or you get angry? And of course, you cannot get mad at God, so you get mad at somebody else. So where is your love to God? We are called the sons of God. What a rank, what a responsibility. As I said, the greater the position, the greater the responsibility. If you are truly the sons of God, then we should live like the sons of God. We have this moral image stamped upon our heart, the moral nature that formed in us. We are a mirror of God's image to the world. We are a mirror of God's image to the world. So let our light shine before men. Let me tell you, if you are one of those people, you are not sure that you will go to heaven. Not sure whether you are a child of God. You are living in uncertainty. You need to be certain of your salvation. Turn with me to 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God. Hey, for sure, we know we are of God. And the whole world lies under way of the wicked one. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. We know. Three times He said, we know, we know, we know. That means you need to give serious and prayerful attention to salvation without any delay. You need to make sure that you're reconciled with God. Many are not sure because why? They live in sin. They don't have a passion for God. No time to read the Word of God. No time to study. No time to pray. But they got all the time for the other thing. They have time for TV. But if you forsake your sins and with all your heart you turn to God, then you shall have the same privileges that was spoken before. You will be a son of God. You shall be called the sons of God. The value of God's blood is infinite. He can remove any sin with the precious blood of Christ. You cannot save yourself. Need Christ alone. Only He can save from the wrath of God that is going to come. And if you turn away from sins, realizing that you have sinned against God, just like the prodigal son, the Almighty God, He will receive you because of His mercy and blessings, which is so infinite than all the things that the world can give you. And then you will receive the true honor, true dignity, what a rank to be a child of God. Wow. Amazing. This really boggles our mind. What manner of love is this? You know, it's so easy that worldly people can love us and say, oh, wow, somebody gives you a gift and say, wow, this is a great gift. I know you love me. You brought this gift. But the gift of God that is eternal life, nobody can do that. What manner of love is that? For you to have eternal life. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was driving, and you know, how people are so, they're not patient, you know, when it comes to traffic lights and too much traffic, and they say, I want to go, I'm getting late, you know, and no patience. And you know, you already you're late and stuff like that, and too hot and everything, no patience. But I was thinking, God, in hell, how is that going to be? In hell, you cannot say, oh, it's too hot here, you know. You get angry, you know. You can't do that. How long in hell? It's for eternity. You cannot get angry. I mean, it's for eternity. You get in a traffic jam, that's for a while. And that little while, you get angry. Hell is for eternity. But here, what manner of love that we were going to hell and God picked us up from hell and gave us eternal life. And a lot of times, we don't even realize what God has done. We are like living as if, you know, He did His part, you know, that's good. I'm going to heaven, you know. What's the big deal, like? What kind of Christian is that? And I'll tell you, if you're a true Christian, you will fall down at His feet and worship Him for the rest of your life and giving all what you have. And even with suffering and pains and trial and tribulation and everything what you go through, man, that's nothing. That's why Christians, they were not scared to give their life to Christ because what He has done. Even when Nero came and poured out tar and, you know, like gasoline and everything on the Christians, they were burning lights in the garden of Nero, and Nero goes naked in his garden because it's lighted with the Christians burning. But these Christians were not scared to die. They were not scared to give their life. But today, just a little bit pain we cannot endure because we are living in so much comfort here. Living in comfort. That's why we need to crucify this flesh daily. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ will live through us. Let's pray. Oh Father, we praise You, Lord. Have no words to pray, Lord. Have no words to give thanks to you, Lord, because we are so limited, Lord, of the knowledge that you have given us. The angels in heaven praise you, adore you. They worship you day and night. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, the little small knowledge that you have given us, Lord, we will use it all for your glory, Lord. Everything what we learn, Lord, is for to glorify you, to worship you, Lord. That we would see the awesomeness, the majesty, and the glory of God. That we would truly seek you, Lord, and seek you in your word, Lord, that we will see who really who you are. And when we see the awesome glory of God, your sovereignty, and we will fall at your feet, Lord, as helpless creatures, Lord, knowing that there is no strength in us, Lord, that we are helpless. And Lord God Almighty, we pray, Lord, that seeing what you have done for us through eternity, you loved us before the foundation of the world. Grace was given to us. This is something that we do not understand, what you have done for each one of us. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that for the rest of our life, Lord, as you have given us breath, that we will live for you, Lord. That we will live as sons of God. Father, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for our laziness, Lord. We ask forgiveness for our ignorance in the world. We ask forgiveness for the comforts that surrounds us, and that our flesh is so prone to wickedness, Lord. We ask forgiveness, Lord, for not truly loving you, as Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Oh Lord, how we have come so much short of that commandment as Christians. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, to love you more for what you have done. Cause us to feel the pain that you went through on the cross, the agony that you went through, Lord. Cause us to feel your pulse, Lord, your heartbeat. And cause us, Lord, when we go through sufferings and pains, Lord, that we will, as we cannot never weigh on one side of ours and yours on the other side, because ours is light, momentary problems compared to the eternal glory that you have prepared for us, Lord. Compared to what Christ had gone through. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that all what you have learned today, Lord, that we would hide it in our hearts, Lord. That we will not sin against you. That you would go before us. That you be glorified. That we would live as Christians, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.